A quest is a search for something. And every week, the Quest podcast will show you how we know what we know through interviews with people that have incredible stories of dedication and perseverance. I'm your host, Todd Fisher. Join me in this thought-provoking and inspiring podcast of discovery. Find us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Karate Priest Podcast. I'm your host, Father Daniel Duplantis. I'm a martial artist, musician, airman, and a priest of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. One of my other passions in life is teaching, especially teaching about the Catholic faith. Catholicism is a very deep faith. Jesus himself told Peter to put out into the deep for a catch. The most significant answers to life's most important questions often lie deep beneath the surface. Many people have questions about their faith. Through this podcast, my aim is to explore these questions and encounter incredible people along the way. Their stories show that God is constantly at work in our lives every single day, sometimes in the ordinary and sometimes in the extraordinary. Some of the topics treated in this podcast may be sensitive or controversial, but their discussion holds the key to truly living as God created us to live, which is to say that He created us to live in authentic freedom, loving Him above all else. Thank you for joining me on this journey of faith, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Karate Priest Podcast. Thank you for joining us for the beginning of Season 2. I am joined today by my producer, Todd Fisher, and it is wonderful to be back in the business.
Hi, Father Dan, and welcome back for Season 2.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for inviting me back to do this. Man, it's been just, great to get back on and to hear a lot of just, as I've taken a break and talked to some, colleagues in the martial arts world and just in the Catholic world, hearing how people have really just, even in this downtime, kind of cut on in Season 1 and, just really love the concept of, talking about our faith, talking about martial arts, how the two go together. So it's been really cool to kind of see and just made me really excited to get started again with Season 2.
For sure. Yeah. The last episode that we put out was August 16th. Of last year. So it's been a while since we recorded one. And I watched the statistics and people are still tuning in and they're still going back to the first episodes. There's re-listens, there's new people. So certainly we wanted to get a new season in, but we might have a limited season because you've got to go active duty soon. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So that's, a big part for the hiatus in the last few months as well is because, as of the last episode, we were already less than a year out from the time I'm going active duty, which right now my tentative active duty date is in July. And so this summer I'll be finishing up my assignment in my diocese and then going active duty Air Force as a chaplain. The only thing is, I don't know where I'm going yet. that's part of this process is that, as you get closer to your active duty date is when you start to find out where you're going, because it all depends on who accesses before you, who's entering ahead of you, what billets are available, things like that. So with the last few months with that, I've just been doing a lot of the paperwork, getting a lot of those things together. Actually, this coming week, I'll be going to a nearby base to go do some medical stuff and get all that cleared and just kind of get all my ducks in a row. And that's really, I'm almost at the end of the application. This really is the last thing I got to do is this medical clearance. And then, after that's just a waiting game to find out where I'm going. And then once I get orders, start arranging to move my life.
What would be like the worst location to go? Would it be like Anchorage, Alaska, or Biloxi, Mississippi, or like where would be?
I love Biloxi. I love Biloxi because I do. Because last thing, so I'm very fond of Biloxi because being from Houma, Biloxi is only about 2 hours and 15 minute drive away. So my family took vacation to Biloxi several times growing up, and so I did one of my internship tours there when I was a deacon. And so it's not the nicest beach, but it's still a, you know, a coastal community nonetheless, still a beach, good relaxing place. It's got that kind of, you know, coast culture to it. I really enjoy Biloxi and it's close enough to Cajun culture. You do have a, like a bit of an extension that like New Orleans flair to it. That still feels more or less like home for me. So I do like Biloxi. As far as the worst place, I mean, I, you know, if I'm being realistic, and I hope nobody's offended by me saying this, but like Minot in the Dakotas tends to be, I think that's North Dakota, tends to be a place where people aren't too ecstatic about going. I've heard Cannon in New Mexico is not exactly the best place, but you know, things like that. But for me, you know, either way, I'm getting to go out and see the world. And
right now, you don't know if you're going to be stateside or overseas. You could possibly go overseas, right?
I could. And that's the thing is, you know, I'm hoping that my first assignment, I'm actually here stateside, just so I can kind of get my feet wet, considering that, you know, I'm by myself when I'm doing this, you know, that I'll be having to move everything by myself. And so I'm hoping that just to, for the sake of easing into the routine, easing into the new lifestyle, I'm hoping it's stateside. I'm hoping it's somewhere even relatively close to where I'm at now, you know? But, you know, I think back to when I was at boot camp and, we had a JAG, a legal officer who was in my flight, and she right out the gate for active duty, as soon as she graduated from boot camp and from JAG school, got assigned to Kadena in Japan. So it really all just depends on where are the billets, where's the need of the Air Force, and then kind of going from there. But I specified, you know, I did a paper a few weeks ago where I specified that my primary preference right now, as far as region, because that's the narrowest I've gotten to say so far, my first preference of region I'd like to go to is to stay somewhere in the Gulf South.
Yeah. And then how long is your active duty?
I think it's at least 5 years. It's either 3 to 5, something along those lines is my minimum commitment. And then once I, you know, finish the minimum, then I'll take it a year at a time and definitely, you know, kind of keep my bishop in the loop, which, by the way, I do have a new bishop. We're installing him on March 29th. And so I'll come home and make that discernment with him to say, hey, here's how I'm doing. This is how I'm feeling about it. I like what I'm doing. Can I stay longer? Or if I don't like it, just to say, hey, you know, I'll do my commitment, then I'm coming home. Or but I really think I'm gonna definitely give it, you know, maybe even longer than the 5 years. I know they certainly need active duty priests. And so the longer we can go, the better. Yeah. So that's the thing. It's up
and then, when all that's over, would you come back to your home parish? Would you might possibly be assigned somewhere else? What would happen then?
I'll come back to my diocese at the end of however long that time active duty is. So I'll come back to the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. Would I come back to the same parish? Probably not. Not out the gate, at least, because if they sent me back to the cathedral here, I wouldn't imagine they'd send me here as the associate pastor. I imagine that. So in the rector is usually a very seasoned priest anyway. So I would, my hope and my request would be when I come back from active duty is to hopefully be assigned to a smaller parish to kind of, again, transition back to diocesan priesthood. You know, I'm going to have to break the way of thinking militarily, you know, when I come back to the diocese. And so I'm hoping to have a small manageable parish just to kind of ease myself back into the diocese lifestyle, you know. I'm very big on transitioning, you know, when it comes to major changes of pace like this. I'm hoping that when I come home, I'll be able to, you know, go to a place. And I wouldn't mind coming back as an associate pastor, either, you know, when I come back active duty, if that means I kind of get to take things a little bit slower in that regard, you know. So it depends, you know. Certainly just I'm very big on taking the time to transition, taking the time to process, you know, not going from one to the other and hitting a brick wall.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious. I'm surprised I didn't bring this up when you were on my podcast, a while back. So I imagine there's a much different, way in which you're a chaplain when it's non-wartime versus wartime. Have you ever spoken to a chaplain who's been, you know, out in the field during wartime in, you know, a zone that has conflict? Have you ever spoken to anyone that's done that?
Honestly, not too many, because I mean, a lot of the chaplains that are on active duty right now, a lot of them have assessed, you know, in the last probably decade or so, and really like the major fighting that we've had, you know, at least for the United States. I mean, we just pulled out of, you know, we pulled out of Afghanistan, then it got taken over again. But, you know, the chaplains I know who served in the Middle East, you know, what's very different is definitely like the living conditions, for sure. You know, and it's more like you're living in these kind of big kind of tent looking things. And so, but as far as like, you know, I really haven't gotten to talk to a lot of chaplains yet who did serve, you know, like in the Middle East on active duty, and I just asked them what it's like. So, you know, there's a bit of a question mark there, but you know, at the same time, you know, I'm thinking is really the military is kind of shifting gears away from, I mean, to a certain degree, we're still doing counterterrorism, but I think our bigger, you know, concerns now are really Russia and China. I mean, you look at what's happening in Ukraine right now, you look at how China is kind of ramping up things. China is apparently trying to have at least the capabilities, you know, to invade Taiwan, I think, by the end of the decade. So whether or not they will is yet to be determined, but, you know, I think that's becoming the rising threat really again is Russia and China. So we're almost kind of making the full circle where we haven't really fought a conventional war in a very long time. It's been mostly counterterrorism, fighting guerrilla movements, to where now we're kind of gearing up again to fight regular standard military. So that's kind of what I'm seeing happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I assume when, you know, there is a conflict zone, there must be some, you know, what do? They set up a tent, make a makeshift chapel for people to have services. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, usually you're at least for us in the Air Force, we'll have even deployed environments. It's an airfield or something along those lines, or to where we'll have, you know, some kind of chapel set up. It's certainly not going to be like a stained glass building, you know, no stained glass windows, but at least you have some kind of facility to have services in. So that's certainly part of our preparation. We also have like mass field kits as well. So like, you know, there's always famous pictures in, you know, the last several decades going back to like World War II of, you know, priests celebrating masses on the hood of a Jeep, or, you know, in the Gulf Wars and stuff, celebrating mass on the hood of a Humvee, you know?
Yeah.
So we do have like these portable field kits that we can use, and they're in their standard issue for at least for the military. You know, they give us that to, and it's in like a nice, convenient little kit that even like the chalice, like the base unscrews from the cup itself, you know, to where it's, they try to make it as portable as possible. Right. So, yeah, but I've yet to see exactly what that's going to be like, you know, that's definitely down the line. So
sure. Well, since August, what have you been doing with your time? I know you've had some retreats that you've gone on, and I imagine you're keeping up with your martial arts. What's your vacation been like?
Yeah. So, so we did a family vacation back in September, which was really nice. And this was probably my last family vacation before going active duty. We went to Orange Beach, Alabama, and that was extremely relaxing. Had a great time there. Just to, you know, we had a condo that we were staying at with a lazy river and stuff, and so it was just very laid back time to kind of recuperate. Which, that's the thing, I'm not the kind of person that has to do something every waking minute on vacation. I certainly like vacation time to actually go somewhere relaxing and unwind. I'm busy enough, and I do a lot of things as it is, you know, when I'm not on vacation. So that was great. December was a very busy month for me, because, you know, speaking of martial arts, I went and did my black belt test for Tang Sudo in Florida in early December. So I went there, and that was a whole ordeal in and of itself, a 4-hour test. But I was awarded with my second degree black belt in Tang Sudo. So I now have two black belts, a third degree in Taekwondo and a second degree in Tang Sudo. And then with Taekwondo, I'm getting ready now for my my fourth degree black belt test, my master's test in June, before I leave to go active duty. But and then in December as well, right after my test, I went on retreat. My annual personal retreat. So priests are expected to take, I think it's at least 5 days every year. as personal retreat time. So I went to St. Joseph Abbey in Covington, which is where I went to college seminary. And so it was the first time I'd been back there since before COVID. So it was great to visit with the monks. I stayed in the monastery itself. I had a guest room there. So I joined the monks for some of their prayer offices for Mass. Got to concelebrate for the first time as a priest for Mass in the Abbey Church, which is a gorgeous church. Got to walk the grounds. I mean, the Abbey is situated on 1,000 acres of forest. So it was great just to walk the forest trails, you know, and you got like the sunlight kind of coming through the canopy on the trails and stuff. It was just beautiful, very relaxing. You know, great recuperation from the the test that I had the week before, because that test left me bruised like a banana. I'll put it that way. Yeah, but so worth it. And then we had another retreat last month. It was a priest retreat. So it was all the priests of our diocese went to Convent, Louisiana, to a place called Manresa, which is a Jesuit retreat center. So we were there for about 3 days. Big news that happened right before the retreat was we finally got a new bishop named, which was super exciting. And that was a really interesting day when I got the text message, because we received, all the priests received a blast email and a blast text saying that the next morning at 9 o'clock would be a press conference at the pastoral center. And all clergy were invited. And when you get a text message like that, when you don't have a bishop, normally it means you're getting a new one. Yeah. And so sure enough, the next morning I woke up and I think it was about 5 or 6 in the morning, the USCCB published the announcement from Rome that we are receiving Bishop Mario Dorsenville, who is currently the auxiliary bishop of Washington, D.C. And so he came in for the press conference, got to meet him very briefly, very joyful man, smiles the entire time. So super excited to be getting him. And so we'll have his installation mass right here at the cathedral where I'm stationed on March 29th. And so that's going to be a very exciting day for us. So yeah, that's
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because all this busyness you've had since August isn't really the real reason why we delayed putting out season
right.
two podcasts.
You're right. When I recount all that busyness, yeah, it makes it seem like, huh, how could I possibly have done anything else?
I know, right? And I know we teased this at the end of your last season that we would be making a very special announcement, but let's go ahead. Why don't you tell everyone what you've been working on since August?
All right, y'all. I wrote a book. there it is. I can finally say it, you know, and it was a very hard secret to keep, at least from the podcast. You know, people here at home knew about it because that's hard to keep a secret, you know, and especially because people helped me through the writing process. But yeah, that had been an idea for several months beforehand going into last year. And, you know, finally I came up with an idea and, you know, shared it with you, Todd, and we came up with a concept. And that's funny too, because, you know, at first I was like, you know, well, what do you want me to write about? And I remember you saying, you're a priest that does martial arts, that's also in the military. Like, you've got to have a unique perspective on how all these things kind of come together. And so I didn't come up with a title until a couple of days after I wrote the outline. And I just thought about like, okay, well, you know, I guess to take all those things together is write about, you know, how should a Catholic or even just a Christian, you know, but specifically Catholics, how should we practice martial arts in such a way that our martial arts practice makes us better Christians and vice versa? How can our faith help us to be better martial artists? You know, what's the way in which they can grow together? You know, and I was thinking of the title, and then one night it hit me about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was having a hard time falling asleep, and so I was just thinking. And then at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I thought of it. It was Jesus in the dojo. And so I was like, man, because I was trying to think something that's like kind of catchy, but something that also summarizes the book. But yeah, basically the book is, how do you practice? How do you teach all the aspects of martial arts? How do you do martial arts as a Christian? And how do the two go together? And so it was an incredible project. I mean, just to do the research, you know, I hadn't done this much research since I was in the seminary. So to have to sit there and have to read different sources, different things, you know, kind of really helped to inform my own thoughts on this further than what I already had. I remember at the very beginning, having a little bit of writer's block. I don't know if you remember this. Like, I wrote like five pages and we were like, yeah, we gotta get this chapter longer than just five pages. And so I was like, holy cow, like I've never done this before. Like, you know, so I kind of put it down for like almost a month. I didn't write anything. I kind of just went back to the drawing board, got my thoughts together. And then towards the end of August, I started writing again. And really it took off from there. Like once I really kind of got the first step done, it started to flow a lot better. I started to really see and really to visualize where I wanted to go with the book. What was the end goal? How I was going to accomplish that, you know, step A to B to C and so forth, you know? It was a very rewarding experience that, I mean, even just the research was so personally enriching. But I really hope that this book is enriching for many, many others.
Yeah. I actually have a copy of it in my hand right now. So that's really, I've known about this book from the beginning because I'm publishing the book.
You're the one who asked me to write it.
I know.
Yeah.
Metacortex Publishing isn't just podcasts. You know, I like publishing in a lot of forms, both in printed versions and digital versions. I think that that's really compelling to do that. And one of my fascinations with you from the beginning, when I, you know, first heard of you on the Religious Hippie podcast was, you know, the kind of like rectifying how you can be a priest and be in the military and how you can be a priest and practice martial arts. And like, some of these things seem to be in conflict in a way. And I was like, I've got to hear him tell me how they're not in conflict. And that was the real intriguing part of knowing you, is how you would talk about that. You know, people think of the military, they think of the war fighters out there. They don't think of the non-combatant roles. And of course, with martial arts, you think, well, this is something, you know, people kick butt with this, you know, and also sort of that Asian influence and those spiritualities and those things that come with that. You know, it seems like, how could you be a Catholic and do this, right? And you've covered all that with me. So that's what I find really interesting. And of course, this book goes into a great, you know, great detail in all of those things.
Yeah, definitely. And there are certainly some parts that were harder to write than others. You know, there were some parts where I had a clear idea of what I wanted to say, where I wanted to go. There are some parts that, you know, as they came up in my research, I was like, okay, this is a bit foreign to Taekwondo. And so I'm not familiar with it, but it's so part of many other martial arts that I had to kind of do some more research and really find sources that I was not familiar with. You know, there were certainly some topics that I was losing sleep over, just trying to figure out, you know, where am I going to go with this? How do I reconcile this? You know, what's fact, what's myth, you know? And so there was a lot of that in this process as well. It's not like it was a very easy or clean process start to finish. It got messy, you know, from a research perspective at one point. So, yeah.
Well, as of the recording of this podcast, you and I are reviewing the galley copies, which are sort of the test copies, the test printings of the book that we look at to make sure there's no last minute changes. And you know, shortly thereafter, we'll be announcing the actual date it comes out. So we can say roughly right now that we're looking at, you know, mid-April, maybe at the latest May 1st. Or it may be out by the time you hear this. So,
yeah, it's moving at an incredibly fast pace. I mean, you know, once we got like the last kind of edits done, it's been moving incredibly fast.
Yeah. And obviously we want to get it out as soon as possible, so you have enough time to promote it before you go active. But it's a great read. It's going to be available in soft cover and hardcover when it comes out. And then I believe around Christmas time, we're looking at putting out an ebook. And then next year, at some point, probably mid-year, you'll have an audiobook version of this. So a lot of content for this book.
Yep. And then for the Catholic readers as well, you know, we do have an Nihil Obstat and the Imprimatur, which to kind of explain those, if you've never heard of those things. So for our listeners, the Nihil Obstat means let nothing obstruct, basically. And what it means is that it's been checked by either my ordinary, which is normally a bishop, but because I've been sede vacante for the last year, basically, my diocesan administrator has checked the book and to his understanding has confirmed that there are no theological errors. There's nothing that contradicts the faith. And so you should have a moral freedom to be able to read it from that perspective. And then also as my acting ordinary, he gave his imprimatur as well. And so it does have both of those things. It has been reviewed, and it's actually been reviewed not just by him, but also reviewed by martial arts friends, by friends who are studying catechesis and evangelization. So it really kind of went through several reviews before the final version gets put out. And so I'm fairly confident that, you know, this is hopefully, you know, a game changer in the world of martial arts for Christians, you know, to where this is hopefully going to help us to really go deeper into both our practice of martial arts, but really most especially in the practice of our faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also have a great foreword as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, the foreword is wonderful, and I couldn't have asked for a better foreword, you know, to really encapsulate from the martial arts perspective, you know, what's happening here. And so Sensei Brett Gordon wrote the foreword and went through like the idea of Budo, like the warrior spirit kind of thing, you know, and really kind of, you know, framing the book in terms of, you know, how do these opposites, how do these seemingly contradictory topics come into play here? You know, and then recognizing that, you know, when they kind of converge in the person of a priest who serves in the military, who does martial arts, you know, who kind of has a unique perspective on the concept itself of self-defense, you know, really kind of sets up what we're doing.
Yeah. And for those that don't know Brett, tell everyone what his title is.
Brett has many titles, but as of now, he's the president of the American Judo Kwan Association. And so he helps us to get our Dan certifications in Taekwondo through the Judo Kwan in Korea. We're an affiliated branch of the Judo Kwan. And then also we have a division of Tangsudo. So he tested me for my Tangsudo belt. And so the dude is just an incredible martial artist. I mean, when you share the mat with this guy, you realize that you don't want to be on his bad side, because this guy can mess you up more ways than I can think of. But the guy's been an incredible friend lately. We've been training a lot. We've made it, you know, I've been to Florida, he's been to Louisiana several times. In fact, he's coming back this weekend. Especially as I can see he's definitely grown in his faith. We've had a lot of great conversations about the Catholic faith, and especially as it relates to martial arts, over the last several months. It's always great conversations when we talk about how do these two come together, you know, and even for both of us to have that kind of mutual discussion of, you know, he's a layman and I'm a priest, but at the same time, we're both Catholic martial artists, you know, and how has kind of reviewing this, how has, you know, things I've talked about for the book, how has this changed the both of us in our practice of martial arts as Catholics?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I couldn't be more proud of this book. So I'm excited to release it here in a matter of weeks. And I'm sure that we'll have many more conversations about this in season two of the Karate Priest podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're pleased, I'm pleased, because it was certainly one of the best challenges I've ever had to do. But it's certainly, you know, I'm very proud to say that this is really my life's contribution to the martial arts world as a priest. I mean, this is everything, you know, getting to write about my life's work as a priest, martial artist, and then also as a military chaplain candidate, soon to be chaplain. So I'm just very humbled for the opportunity to put all that down on paper, that this is like my living testament, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you get to add, among your many titles, you can now put author.
Yep. Yep. But then again, it's not about the titles, but certainly I'm proud of the work I get to do. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you lead by example in all these things. And that's what, you know, people can know when they go out and buy this, that, you know, you walk the walk and talk the talk, and it's in the book. So you'll see.
Yep, definitely.
But Father Dan, thanks for having me on the first episode of season two. And I'm sure I'll be back in a couple of weeks for a Q&A or something. And I look forward to all our programming for this year.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for coming back on and for all the work you've done with the book. And so with that, guys, thank you so much for joining us on episode one of season two of the Karate Priest podcast. Thank you and have a great day. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of The Karate Priest. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and like The Karate Priest on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're ever in South Louisiana, come visit me at the Cathedral of St. Francis de Sales in Houma. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can also email me at thekaratepriest@gmail.com. Your questions are welcomed and may be used in future episodes. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Hi everybody, I'm Amber Rose, the religious hippie, and I host the podcast A Catholic's Perspective. Join me every 2 weeks as I release episodes targeted towards helping young Catholics navigate their ever-changing secular world while staying strong in their faith. Whether you are a Catholic or not, all are welcome here. So if this is something that interests you, feel free to tune in. You can find A Catholic's Perspective on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I hope to see you there. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and Anthony Smith and is distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure and visit the official website for Metacortex Publishing at metacortexpublishing.com or find us on social media for other unique content.